no matter what you think when it comes to Google, how many views that you think your Google Maps listing gets, multiplied by 5,000.
You're listening to the Future of Convenience podcast, brought to you by Global Convenience Store Focus, featuring senior retail executives and experts in the global convenience, fuels, and mobility retail industry. Hosted by Dan Munford, Nick Scherzer, and Carolyn Schneer. Welcome to the Future of Convenience podcast. I'm Carolyn Schneer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nick Scherzer. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm doing great. And today we're going to be talking about location, location, location. And for retailers, not only does great location mean a bit more foot traffic, but even more importantly, you have to let them know you're there. You have to let them know what you have. And we're going to hear a little bit about that. Before we get started, Kempower designs and manufactures reliable and user-friendly DC fast charging solutions for electric vehicles. The company's vision is to create the world's most desired EV charging solutions for everyone, everywhere. Kempower's product development and production are based in Finland and the US, and most of the materials and components are sourced locally. The company focuses on all areas of e-mobility, from electric cars, trucks, and buses to machines and marine. Learn more at kempower.com.
We're joined by Trevor Najar, who's the founder and owner of Local Knowledge. And Trevor, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
Trevor, you and I met in Saudi Arabia last year, and you're dialing in today from Dubai, if I'm not mistaken.
That's where I am. I'm actually sitting at a parking lot of a gas station convenience store, so I thought it was appropriate to be doing that from
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. That's very appropriate. And as Carolyn said, we're talking about location today, and specifically digital location management. And it's something you and I were talking about in Saudi last year, and it really got our attention in terms of the importance of this and some of the pitfalls in terms of ignoring it, retailers spending a huge amount of money on digital strategies, and almost in some ways, I guess you could call it a blind spot potentially for when it comes to thinking about digital location management. Trevor, do you want to tell us a bit about what this is about, what are the benefits and some of the dangers of not managing your locations digitally?
Oh, that's a lot. So digital location management is basically taking care, making sure that you have an accurate digital presence on the digital platforms that most consumers are using. And depending on the market you're in most cases it's going to be Google Maps or Google Search. Yep. And, in other parts of the world, there's other platforms. In China, there's Baidu and AMAP, and Korea, there's Naver, and Bing is a big player in Europe and North America. And in the CIS countries, you've got Yandex, which is like the Russian Google. So all of these...
I'm still using Netscape. Oh, is that okay?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I just bought some VHS tapes for watch this weekend. So.
Oh, cool! You and I would get along well.
Anyways, so all of these different platforms are what consumers are using, and so many retailers just think about maps and getting found as this little map pin or little pin that you see on a map, and there's your business name and somebody can find it. But that's really just the tip of the iceberg. And and I really love our business. I founded it about 2013 after being in the Yellow Pages for a long time. And there's really so much more about your location on a map. And what I love about what we do is we don't even necessarily sell a service. We explain to retailers and brand owners how the whole mapping and search ecosystem works. And in most cases, nearly all cases, most all the retailers don't really realize how Google Maps listings find their way onto Google Search, right? And how when you use a voice assistant like Siri, everybody kind of makes this assumption, oh, I guess using Google, but it's a different platform. It's actually Apple Maps. So it's kind of really nice. Most of our presentations, and we do, if I speak to an audience or we're meeting with a client, it's more of a case of, oh my God, I didn't know that. I got to get found there. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Because Trevor, thinking of it from using Google Maps as an example, and as you said, it's certainly one of the most widely available ones. It kind of comes to the question of how do you leverage Google Maps to work for you? And so in practical terms, if a customer is searching coffee near me or where's coffee, you want your location to be showing up. And it's the science behind how do you do that. And it's not just coffee. It's a range of products and services that you offer, right? Mm-hmm. And so kind of getting to the heart of it is this question around how do you leverage Google Maps to work for you? And that's what you guys do,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You know, in Google's eyes, they want you to buy Google Ads. You know, in 2023, Google's revenue is $305 billion. And most all of that came from clicking on Google Ads. And it truly is a bottomless pit. And so many brand owners don't realize that just by optimizing, and when I say optimizing is feeding your Google listing, if you will, or your Bing listing, or whatever platform we're talking about, feeding that listing with as much information as you possibly can about what's available at that store. And it's not just the business hours and the forms of payment and the logo. Things like keywords and categories. We've all looked at Google and we've done a search for like, oh, convenience store near me, or like you just said, Nick, you know, coffee shop near me, whatever that may be. And then sure enough, up pops listings that match that category. And you go, okay, there it is. And you go, okay, what's the nearest one? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the brand that I like so much. Okay. So that's what we see. That's what our eyes see. But that's the tip of the iceberg. What we're able to do with a convenience store, a coffee shop, a fuel retailer, is feed a lot more information than what the naked eye sees to the Google Index. And, you know, he can be category. So, for example, Google has a category taxonomy. The category taxonomy comprises of about 3,500 categories. Okay, it could be car wash, convenience store, coffee shop, breakfast restaurant. There's literally thousands of them. Okay, and a convenience store is not just a convenience store, right? There's an ATM there, maybe. There's a coffee shop there. There's so many corresponding Google categories that associate to that particular retail location. And those Google categories are things that people search for. Now, what most retailers don't know, I keep talking like everybody's not so smart, but it's just, you just don't know this stuff, right? And Google kind of doesn't want you to know it because they want you to buy Google Ads, but you're allowed to have 10 categories associated to each one of your Google Maps listings. So
you should use all of them.
Provided they're relevant. Carolyn, you're 100% right.
Mm. Yeah.
If they're relevant, bang on. Your locations start coming up on Google Maps. But even more importantly, they start coming up on Google Search. And I don't know, you know, people just use Google instinctively and don't really think about what they're looking at. But on a desktop, a laptop, a tablet or a mobile screen, if you're on Google Search, not on Google Maps, and you look for a business and say, like Nick just said, oh, coffee shop near me, what you're going to see on the screen is maybe Google Ads at the top. Okay. And then you see three listings. Okay. You'll see three businesses and a little map beside it. And nobody really thinks about that, but those are Google Maps listings coming in on page one of Google search, organic. They're not paid. Everybody kind of sometimes says, oh, those are paid listings, right? No, they're organic, and they're based on whatever the search query is. And that's called the Google three pack, or sometimes known as the local pack. And you don't need a URL for your listings to come in. You just need to be able to be, just need to be feeding Google information about your location. And then when there's a hit, so Google indexes that map information, the Google Maps data that you're submitted. And then when there's a hit, your location comes up organically free in the Google three pack on page one Google.
So I mean, it's basically it's SEO for navigation, I guess. Is that kind of the right word?
Almost. This comes up in every meeting that we have. They go, oh, this is like SEO. And I go, yeah, you're right. Except it's...
You can tell who the writer in the room is.
You know, so many people have heard of SEO. All the digital marketing people that we meet and talk to, they all say, oh, yeah, SEO. SEO is search engine optimization. And that's about getting your website or a landing page, a URL found. Okay, that's SEO. They do it in multiple languages. It's very complex. And the brands pay a lot of money for it. And it works. We do something, and it's a very, the industry that Local Knowledge is in and digital location management is quite a large industry. We're a multi-billion dollar industry, in fact. And what we do is something called local SEO. And local SEO is basically location search engine optimization. So we're all about helping brand owners, multiple location businesses, mom and pop shops, get their location found and help drive footfall, traffic, physical visits to those. And a byproduct of that, because your Google listing or your Bing listing or your Yandex or whatever platform it happens to be, has a URL in there. It has an ordering link. It has all these different components. And that also, in fact, helps drive traffic to your website or your online ordering page or that sort of thing. So,
And Trevor, that's what I found so interesting in talking with you about this is just by managing this properly, and you can actually drive more traffic to your sites. And there's a number of other elements you spoke about, which were kind of the ability to use this to drive app downloads. You know, and it's an ecosystem that you've mentioned already people aren't necessarily aware of or maybe just aren't paying enough attention to. And by managing this properly, it actually can have a huge effect across your entire estate in terms of driving traffic to your stores and awareness of your sites. Because I think you said to me one of the biggest call to actions was once you've done that search is actually click to navigate. And that's a really key thing that the pin location of your site is in the right place for somebody navigating to where they're at.
There's you're spot on, and there's so many components to that. There's a dark side to that, but yes, Google is actually very generous in terms of providing data. So once we claim the ownership and start managing the locations for our clients. It could be 10 locations, it could be 1,000 or 10,000 locations. What we do is we start pulling in all this data. And really interesting data is data called customer actions. So Google makes something available called the Google Performance Metrics API. And that's for the Google Maps listings. And there's customer actions where it's click to call, click to web, and click to navigate. And what we see, because it's in the location space, it's always like 10, 20x higher in terms of, for like and convenience, we see 10, 20x higher click to navigate. Okay, so what ends up happening is people find either the brand that they're looking for or they find the business that's selling the product that they're looking for, and bang, they click to navigate. The dark side of this, and I don't know if you were going to ask me, but I'll bring it up now. As a whole, If you look at, and we'll just talk about Google, okay? So as a whole, if you look at all the claimed locations on Google, claimed, I'm meaning they, some either an agency or the brand owner has claimed their ownership with Google, and Google acknowledges that they're the owner. So only 20% of the claimed locations on Google are actually updated and managed by either an agency or the brand. Okay, so what does Google do to try and keep the data fresh and updated? They have this program called Google Local Guide, and they've gamified it. So hundreds of millions of people around the world are Google Local Guides, and they are rewarded by Google with points and different levels of you know, you hit this level and you go Local Guide 7, and then you go Local Guide 8, and everybody's sort of in a competition. And they're crowdsourcing data hygiene. So they're crowdsourcing getting the community using the maps to update the maps, because the brand owners, only 20% of the brand owners, and are actually updating their maps. So what you see on every single Google Maps listing, claimed or not claimed, is suggest an edit. And suggest an edit is a place where a local guide goes and they click doom, and they can update the hours, update the address, update the phone number, update the URL, the website, update the ordering link, and they can actually move the map pin.
Now, that's the part that shocked me the most when we were talking about this. And it kind of goes to your point as well. Either you don't know about it or you haven't really thought about it as a business owner, is the ability for people to go in and edit those things. Because I think probably the vast majority of people assume that that information is managed and accurate when Googling to find what they're looking for. But without managing it, you're not really in control of what your site location data is. Even without getting to the point of enhancing that information and improving it.
We would love to see Google remove the suggest and edit attribute in listings that are clearly managed, that are being updated and are tied to an agency. We're a Google agency, we're a Google Maps agency, we have a Google ID, and they see that we're updating these things, but they leave it. The reality is Google doesn't care. I'm going back to my point, they're really interested in selling Google ads.
It's interaction, it's their own SEO.
And sometimes it's very innocent. So like, I won't use any brands, but the manager of one convenience store that's 500 yards away from another convenience store, all right, can go to their competitor's convenience store. Maybe I'm going to give somebody ideas now. Now, can suggest an edit, move the pin to where their convenience store is, hit submit, okay? And if it doesn't get curated, okay, and this person's a local guide, Google's going to accept it and move the pin. And then all of a sudden, people who think they're going to ABC convenience store start showing up at XYZ. Convenience store, right? So what agencies like us do, and what we do, is we kind of babysit the listings. Because what happens is Google sends a notification. Once you've claimed the ownership, Google actually has an email that they can communicate with. But those emails, 80% of the time, go ignored. So
spam.
Yeah, you know, they go in the junk folder or whatever it may be. Yeah.
Or nobody's tasked with it.
So we manage tens and tens of thousands of locations in multiple countries, and we get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these things every single day, okay? But my colleagues, we have a one-on-one relationship with all our clients. And when they open a new location, if they move a new location, if they update the hours or whatever it may be, we know. So what we do is we see all the notifications that come in, and we just reject them all. We don't even bother our customers. The odd time, maybe a name will come in, and oh, that's the owner of this. It happened with us with a bank. We manage a large bank here in the Middle East, and we've been managing it for five years now. And an ownership request came for the head office, and it was the owner of the bank's name as a Gmail account. And we said, "Oh, I guess we better check before we reject this." And sure enough, it was a phony thing. Somebody's just trying to take ownership of this. So, you really have to pay attention. And no matter what you think when it comes to Google, how many views that you think your Google Maps listing gets, multiplied by 5,000. Okay. Like, wow. It's mind boggling. You know, how much Google listings and impressions your locations get on Google and Google search. And all I see are these, I'm running off of the mouth here, but we see all these marketing people so focused on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and trying to win a marketing award for a new app or whatever that may be. And they treat Google Maps like, oh yeah, our maps are, our pins are on there, no problem. It's they're like the, I don't know if in the U.S. you have the redheaded stepchild thing, but in Canada we always talk about the redheaded stepchild. Google Maps is the redheaded stepchild, you know, and we all see it in the industry. We see it where they go, oh yeah, we're on Google, no problem, we don't need you. So, okay, sorry, go ahead.
I somehow managed to get crowned with the local guide because I like to do reviews for things, for places that I've been to, because I kind of feel it's like my way of giving back. Like, I use Google Maps all the time. You know, you're in a new place, like, I want to go somewhere to eat. What are the top three? You know, you type it in. So I figure, you know, if I'm using those reviews, I should give back and give my own reviews. And if it's great, they get a great review. If it's not. So anyway, I get a local guide. I had no idea I had the power of changing everything about that business, but I will not do that because that is just not nice. But I agree with you that you don't want that. But this, by the same, the photos too, I would imagine, you know, like you, for instance, I'll type convenience store, especially when we're planning some of our trips here in the United States for our market focus tours. I've gone to some places and I've typed convenience stores, and I would hope that anything, the ones that I'm looking for, that always amazes me. It blows me away. Even when I'm in my local area here, I could be standing in front of one. I will type convenience store. It does not pop up. I'm like, guys, you got to really get on this. That could be your number one search word if that's what you want to be found as. Type pizza, same thing. But I look at the photos too. And sometimes some people put some photos up that aren't too flattering in some of these great, great stores, and they take a picture of like dirt on the parking lot or something like that. Do you have the ability to go in and remove those if you don't want those on your listing for that store?
It's one of the most common questions we get from our clients, because they do see some of the photos that get uploaded. In most cases, if it's not offensive or illegal, Google will not do anything about it. So we do flag content, imagery, and reviews. It's extremely, extremely, extremely difficult to get bad reviews and bad imagery removed. Now, there's two types of imagery that is available on a Google Maps listing. We'll just keep talking about Google, I guess. So there's by owner imagery, and by owner imagery is imagery that the brand owner or the agency can manage, and they have 100% control over this imagery and these photos and the logo and all of that. They can upload, take them down, do whatever you want. And this is really important imagery for a business because it helps drive footfall. There's amazing statistics, and I like them because the statistics come from Google, is that if you have up-to-date professional imagery, by owner imagery, you can see up to 40% increase in click to navigate. So as a brand owner, you have the ability to control that. By uploading lots of imagery, you can push some of the imagery that's been uploaded by the reviewers, which is the other side of the coin, where, you know, maybe it is you know, inappropriate or picture of a wrapper on the floor or something like that. Something that just doesn't look really, really well. Either way, you got to pay attention to imagery, and you can, whatever you can control it. And now Google is using AI. There's that AI word everybody's using, is using AI to inspect imagery. So it doesn't even need to be tagged. So Google can identify how recent this photo is, what's in the photo, okay, the quality of the photo, and we encourage a lot of our clients. So like we work with the QSRs as well, and they've got all this professional food photography, and a lot of convenience stores will have you know, food restaurants and fast food in their stores, and they've got all this food photography that's they share with their aggregators, the delivery aggregators. They share it on their website, they put it on Facebook and Instagram and all that, and they forget to put it on Google, where it can drive so much. And so we counsel our clients to ensure that they give it to us, that we can actually share it there. And you may find this interesting. A smiling team member, so if you take pictures of your staff, which is a Google category for imagery, you share team member photos. If you're smiling, if they're smiling, you'll rank better than if they're not smiling. Subtle, and this is an AI thing. Like they can identify whether or not these people in the pictures are smiling. So, you know what? Feed the beast. Well, feed the beast with good stuff.
Yeah, Trevor, I think that's a great way of phrasing it. Is feed the beast, and by managing this, you know, you've spoken a lot about the the increase in traffic and sales and click to navigate. And I think it kind of comes back to something that's so core to retail. Do the basics right first. And in a digital mm-hmm. space, this is one of the basics. And I think, you know, circling back to what you said at the start, it's something that gets overlooked. Maybe people aren't aware of it, or it's not prioritized in the same way the website is, and social media accounts and kind of those kind of things. But I think it all comes back to, in retail, if you do the basics right, you're going to grow sales. And I think that kind of as a core sentiment is what really struck me about this when talking to you about it for the first time.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a Bull Durham way we could do this, like optimize it and they will come. But is that Bull Durham? Feel the dreams. Feel the dreams.
There you go. Baseball movie. Yeah. It's all right. Baseball.
But totally. You know, and I said this earlier. What I so love about doing what we do is we're not a hard sales industry. We just explain how the whole ecosystem works, and people go, wow.
Okay. You know, yeah, that makes sense. You don't, yeah.
I at a refuel event that I did in Egypt, and a couple of places I use a toothless hockey player as a slide, right? And I go, this location management is not a do-it-yourself. it's not do-it-yourself, right? And like you're not going to do your own dentistry. Right. So, so why
would you do this yourself?
You don't know anything, exactly. You don't know anything about like local SEO and location optimization and all of that. So,
And especially if you have dozens or hundreds or thousands of locations too. Oh, I mean, you can do one can maybe you can keep up with maybe two or three.
Yeah.
But when you get in the multiples,
We work with many, many different verticals. We work with banks, and one poor fella, they're now our client, and he goes, oh my God, when Ramadan comes, you know, they change the hours. He goes, oh, it takes me 4 hours just to change the hours. And then I got to change them again at the end of Ramadan. And that's just on Google. I got to do it on the other platforms. With our dashboard and we just do it in 2 minutes, you know, for like 12 platforms and 500 locations done. So, yeah. You know,
it's when you know how, Trevor, that's how it works. And I think, listen, Trevor, it's been really good talking to you today.
No,
and I think
it's not over, Carolyn, is it?
We'll just go. We'll do this again. I think we should do it again. And next time we talk, we'll talk about AI.
Oh, yeah, great.
How about that? That'll keep us busy.
Carolyn referenced our Insight Market Focus. So that's the pre-NAC study tour that's taking place in October this year, where we'll be heading to Pennsylvania and visiting Wawa Sheets and Rutters there. And we're looking forward to that. And Trevor, you're going to be joining us for that as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely. I'm very, very much
so. Nick, I think Trevor's in charge of maps. He's in charge of navigation for us.
Absolutely, yeah. Trevor, we'll put you in charge of the navigation for the whole trip.
Okay, sign me up. I'm there.
Good.
Well, yep. This has been really awesome. I'm so glad to have talked with you. We've learned so much. Whether both the our listeners on both the easy side, the nefarious side. So take with you what you will out of this, and be smart. Mm-hmm. Just continue to be smart. That's all I can throw out there.
Final point. I was just going to say there's a great article on Global Convenience Store Focus where Fiona interviewed Trevor, and she did a great job of telling the story as well. And so there's a good write-up there, and you can obviously reach out to Trevor Local Knowledge, check out their website, and make sure you're managing your digital location information.
Absolutely. Yeah, that article by Fiona was really good. It's very informative. Mm.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's got some great visuals provided by you in it as well.
Yeah, we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. So, well, thanks, Nick. Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thanks, Nick.
Trevor, thanks. Great catching up with you.
And in the meantime, thank you for listening to The Future of Convenience. You've been listening to the Future of Convenience podcast, produced by Dan Munford, Nick Scherzer, Jenna Ferguson, and Lorraine Evans. It is produced, edited, and mixed by Carolyn Schneer, and music is provided by Jukebox Music. Tune in every other Friday for new episodes, and please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Learn more at globalconvenience storefocus.co.uk.